story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. They'd sit around the house.
It's not actually about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. It might be about a corrupt president who thinks it's completely fine to pervert the apparatus of the United States to make himself and his billionaire buddies richer. Hello, folks. My name's Maggie Dawn. Good afternoon. I hope your Thursday is clipping along. We're here to have some great discussion, talk about some news with one another this afternoon. You want to join our discussion, 855-752-4842. Thanks again to Dan Connor, an attorney from Chicago, a leader in the American Bar Association, who literally wrote the book on the Chief Justices, who helped us break down what I'm going to call an unabashed double standard that we see in the federal courts. And that is one standard for reviewing policies and administration decisions that come from Democratic presidents, and a completely other set of rules and practices and processes for Donald Trump. And they're not the same. And that's simply not the way the legal system's supposed to work. I wanted to give you another little bit of legal wonk before I move on to what I'm going to call corruption out loud in living color on live TV, or at least on social media, in a moment. Here's the other little bit of legal wonk that I wanted to share with you. If you're a longtime listener, you know that I clerked for a federal appeals court judge, a two-time Reagan appointee judge. His name was Michael Caney. When I was his elbow clerk for a year following my graduation from the University of Wisconsin Law School, we never, not once, no, not ever, talked about politics. And we heard cases ranging from review of a jury sentencing someone to the death penalty in Indiana, which was the most uncomfortable case I ever advised my judge regarding, to issues of intellectual property and trademark and copyright, to issues of due process and other criminal cases, the whole gamut, as well as corporate disputes and all kinds of different cases. Never asked me who I voted for, never asked me a question that even smacked of partisan politics. That's the way it's supposed to be. And there's one other area, not one other, but like two other big areas within the legal system that are supposed to remain free from overt partisanship. And that is obviously, and we talk about this a lot, law enforcement, whether it's local, state, but most especially federal law enforcement. So no one's supposed to be targeted because they speak publicly or privately in support of any particular candidate, cause, or political party. No one's going to be prosecuted for those things. Our penalties shouldn't be higher because of our political preferences and beliefs. This is foundational, right? So again, your courts, your judges should be apolitical. Your law enforcement apparatus should be completely apolitical and walled off from political influence, which is the opposite of what Donald Trump wants to do. And he's been saying that out loud through the entire campaign. Right? I want retribution. I will be your retribution. That's not independent law enforcement. The other area of the legal system that is much less known to people, but is no less important, is the kind of job that I used to do for Milwaukee County. These are the government lawyers who represent the government in civil legal matters and litigate mostly in defense of policies and laws adopted by different governmental jurisdictions. In most states, you think of the attorney general and most people think of law enforcement, but oftentimes the attorney general in states also serves this incredibly important civil legal function. Okay, so at the state level, they're often combined in the attorney general's office. That's why, for example, Josh Call often speaks about criminal law enforcement action, but also we'll talk about civil enforcement actions. If an individual challenges a state law, he would be responsible for defending the state law. In Milwaukee County, for example, I was that person from Milwaukee County. I defended and was responsible for the civil defense in lawsuits that individuals would bring challenging Milwaukee County practices or procedures, or if they were hurt by a county employee or on our premises. And in the county, of course, then you have district attorneys that handle criminal representation, or excuse me, criminal prosecutions. But if we go back to the federal government, we know that the attorney general handles criminal matters along with the FBI. But very few people, if I asked you or told you, hey, there's this office called the Solicitor General's Office, most Americans would be like, who are you talking about? I have never even heard of that. And the Solicitor General in federal government is the lawyer that is responsible for defending administration policies and laws that are adopted from challenges. It's an incredibly important role. And for decades, the standard in the Solicitor General's office, which is tiny, 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 less than 100 people, all lawyers and para-support professionals and all those, less than 100 people. If you think about how huge the U.S. Attorney's offices are and the Attorney General's offices are, yeah, those are massive. So the SGs are very small. The SG's office for the last 50 years has always tried to approach its defense of policies and laws from an incredibly nonpartisan perspective. That arguments in defense of laws were always tested by this fundamental principle: does this improve, does this strengthen the rule of law in these United States? Does this advance our civic interests writ large? Now, they'd take any case, but the sort of arguments that they would make, the manner of presentation, had this very stalwart, apolitical, completely independent component to it. That was essential to the work of the Solicitor General. That is no longer the case. The lawyer that argued that Donald Trump and presidents are kings before the Supreme Court is now the U.S. Solicitor General. And the office has become, in conversations that I've had confidentially with people that know folks in that office, has become overtly hyper-partisan, that there is no longer any reflection on whether or not advancing this argument, but not this one, in defense of the Trump administration's policies, which he is entitled to that defense by the Solicitor General. There's no thought about whether or not this improves the quality of the rule of law, the fairness of the rule of law, if it improves our democracy. And as a result, there is a mass exodus of folks that have worked decades, that are some of this nation's most revered federal litigators, from the office of the Solicitor General. This office is so important that the Solicitor General is often referred to as the 10th Supreme Court Justice. So I wanted to share this with you, share a little bit of my experience, a little bit of my background here, because this is one of those wonky, beneath the radar, it's not a sexy thing that people talk about a lot, but it is deeply important to the functioning of the rule of law, and yet it is being undermined every day now by this man who argued straight-faced to the Supreme Court that presidents are kings, and that if Donald Trump ordered SEAL Team 6 to kill a political opponent while he sat in the Oval Office, that he would not be subject to prosecution, criminal prosecution, therefore. And I want you to also recall that, or know that within the Solicitor General's office, other than the Solicitor General, him or herself, and his or her principal deputy, who are appointees, the rest of the individuals that work in that office are civil servants and protected by civil service rules. All of this is going by the wayside. It is yet another indication of why we should be very afraid, concerned, of what Donald Trump is doing to the rule of law in this country. We've got one of our regular callers on the line, Dick from Madison. Thanks so much for your patience, sir. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on everything you just said. But yesterday, this ridiculous stuff, and then he backs down. I would call it the art of the retreat. You know, and then you go forward with what's going on today, and then it drops, what, another 1,000 points?
Oh, yeah, I've got it up right now. I think Dow Jones is down 1,000. It's down 1,000 points.
They closed at about a little over 1,000. So, you know, I got to thinking, who else in our history was as bad as him? General Custard. And then I knew how bad he was, but I looked up some things, Maggie.
Yeah.
Tell me he doesn't have things in common with this guy. Here they are. He was threatened to be expelled from West Point all 4 years he was there.
Wow.
Graduated dead last in his class. And he also was court-martialed, but then it was overthrown at some point for some dumb reason. Mm. And then we all know how it ended. But, yeah, this thing, too, yesterday makes Martha Stewart look like a piker.
No kidding. Dick, I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you for setting the table for what I want to move to yet. What I wrote down on my arts was not the art of retreat, not the art of flip-flop, but the art of open and obvious corruption that you're nearly certain to get away with. Who's benefiting from Donald Trump's unforced errors, his chaos economy? There are people making out like bandits, including Trump himself. We can do better. We deserve better. We discuss next right here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. Our great discussion continues on the other side. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.